Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome to the Casting Across Fly Fishing Podcast. I'm Matthew of castingacross.com, where I explore the quarry and culture of fly fishing. You have found your way to the 218th episode of the Casting Across Fly Fishing Podcast. If you want to get caught up, you've got 217 episodes to make your way through. But you don't need to, because what we're going to talk about today is something that I probably talked about 200 plus episodes ago, and I've talked about a few times since. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But what I did want to mention is that if you are new around these parts, or if you have been a rabid listener for the last few years, every 10 episodes, I answer reader and listener questions and address comments on a little podcast episode I call Fly Fishing Accusations. I've got some really good emails and comments that I have received that I will be interacting with. But if you have a particular question or comment, let me know, Matthew@castingacross.com. You could also use the contact form over at the website, castingacross.com. And whether I address your question on the podcast or not, I will get back to you, assuming my spam filter doesn't see you and assume that you are a robot. So I always appreciate the feedback, and I have a lot of fun with those podcast episodes. So that will be in 2 weeks. So what are we talking about today? Why have I asked you to stick around for the last minute of announcements? Well, we're going to talk about fly fishing shows. So here we go. Now, if you've made your way to this podcast, if you've seen the title and you are anti-fly fishing show because you think it's just a way for you to get your hard-earned dollars separated from your pocket, then just hold on. Just wait a minute. Because here's the thing. I think you're doing it wrong. You very well may have gotten a bad deal at some point in time at an expo show, but I think you're doing it wrong. And so what I want to do in this podcast episode, and like I said, this is a topic that I've talked about before, but I think that particularly in this time of year when things are a little bit slower, certainly there's lots of fishing to do. There's a lot of fly tying to do. There's hunting that can be done. There's house projects that can be worked on. There are warm fires that can be sat by. But I think this time of year, which when we have a lot of fly fishing shows happening and expo shows and things like that, this is a great opportunity to go out and really get some beneficial things. So what I'm going to do today, and I'm going to talk a little bit about how I would spend my time if I wasn't Matthew of castingacross.com, if I was just going to a fly fishing show for the first time, or if I've been doing it for years and I feel like I don't know if it's worth another $20 admission ticket just to walk around and look at stuff. Because like I said, I think a lot of people do it wrong. A lot of people that have complained to me or that have said, I've given up going to those shows, I think they're doing it wrong. And it's not necessarily because of anything that they're doing. It's because what they're not doing. So I want to talk through that. But also, as a little bit of an administrative detail, this is being recorded early January of 2023. Now, this will be beneficial information for you regardless of when you listen to it. But if you are listening to it live, I'm planning on being at the fly fishing show, like the fly fishing show, you know, brand name, trademark, in Marlborough, Massachusetts, as well as in Edison, New Jersey. Lord willing, assuming the weather and schedules cooperate, I'll probably be in Marlborough on Friday and Saturday, and I'll probably be in Edison in New Jersey in Friday and Saturday. And so one of the things I've always appreciated when I've helped in booths before with different companies, and it's nice I can kind of say, oh, this is where I'll be most of the day. And people have stopped by and I've been able to have face-to-face interaction with folks that I've emailed back and forth with or people that I've listened to the podcast. I don't plan on helping in a booth this time around, but I will be around. And so feel free to shoot me a message on social media or something like that. And if you just want to say hi, and I'll tell you what shape my mustache is in and what I'm wearing that day. But anyway, what to do when you go to a fly fishing show? Here's the first thing. Get on the website. Now, this is something that is true for the Fly Fishing Show, which is the brand of shows that goes across the country, but it's also true for the Virginia Fly Fishing and Wine Festival, another show that I'm familiar with, and that's run by a great guy, Bo Beasley. He also does the Texas Fly Fishing and Craft Beer Festival, I think is what it's called. But this is also true of smaller shows. I know that close to me, Trout Unlimited puts on a show up in New Hampshire. They put on one here in Massachusetts. There's a couple that happen in Maine as well as in Western Mass. They're all over the place, growing up. And then, of course, in Pennsylvania, in Virginia, Pennsylvania, Maryland, there's all sorts of different shows with different titles and different names. And as long as you're plugged into like a Trout Unlimited chapter or a conservation group, there's a very good chance that this information about what the shows will be in those newsletters. So read through those things to know if there's something that's near you. Because that's one of the first things that I have encountered. People said, oh, I don't want to drive all the way. You know, if I'm living in South Central Pennsylvania, I don't want to drive all the way to New Jersey, which I can appreciate that sentiment, for a fly fishing show that's going to talk about fishing for bluefish and fishing for stripers and fishing for, you know, trout up in Labrador. Okay, well, that makes sense. But there's probably a show that's close to you. I know of a couple that are in South Central Pennsylvania, put on by smaller fly shops and put on by museums and conservation organizations. So just keep your ear to the ground. That is step one. If you want something very localized, then you need to be paying attention to what is around you. And if you aren't online, you're probably not going to find out about it. If you're not in the fly shops, you're probably not going to find out about it. So that's the first thing. Once you know about where you're going, once you know about the opportunities that are in your area, get on that website. Get on that website and figure out what the schedule is. Because the biggest probably complaint that I hear is people who say, you go to these shows, you spend money, and then all you can do is walk around and spend more money. And you know what? If that's what you're doing, then you're doing it wrong. Because a lot of these shows, I would say every one of these shows I've ever been to, will have throughout the day various activities and seminars and things like that that are free. They're not free. They're included in your ticket. So whether that's $10 or that's $20, or it might be free. Sometimes these shows, they really depend on the fees that the vendors pay to get in the building, or like raffles or things like that. Sometimes they are free. But look at what is being done for free and pick out what you want to see. So if there is a fly tying demonstration by a fly tire that you've seen on YouTube at noon, make sure that you're sitting down at 11:55 so you can watch that fly tying demonstration. And you're going to be impressed. If all you've done is watched a fly tying demonstration online, you are going to be really impressed with what it is like in person, where you can ask a question, where they are going to go into greater detail, where they're going to riff and they're going to ad lib things, as opposed to trying to keep things nice and short and concise in a 5 to 7 minute video. If there is a fly casting demonstration by one of America's best fly casting teachers, which I know will be at some of these shows, are they a better fly caster than you? Maybe, maybe not. But there's something you can probably glean from watching them cast and have them explain and articulate well how and why they're casting. So if that's happening at, you know, 2:30, then be lined up by the casting pond at 2:15 or 2:20. And then look through all the other things that are there. What I always encourage people to do is to pick two things that they're interested in, and then pick something that sounds just completely unfamiliar. If you've never thought about spey casting, go and check it out. I remember years and years ago, I was at the fly fishing show in Marlborough, and this was back before casting across was a thing, up here in Massachusetts, and I went to a Tenkara demonstration. I'd never heard of Tenkara before. It was described as like Tenkara, the art of Japanese fly fishing, or something like that. And I think I thought that it was like actual fly fishing art. And I went, and it was something very different. Now, I ended up buying a Tenkara rod from that company, from the company that had the guy that was there that was putting on the demonstration. It was from Tenkara USA, Daniel Gallardo, who is no longer with that company. But I learned something new and different. I know, as you know, I'm not some huge Tenkara fiend, but it was interesting. So find something that you've never heard of before, or a place that you don't plan on going. Go learn about fishing for attainment in Mongolia. Go learn about fishing, Christmas Island, or go, learn about fishing for grayling in the Arctic Circle. Something unique and different, and it's just entertaining. And you're going to see somebody who is probably passionate about this. They're not coming all the way from wherever they were because this is how you make tons of money. They are excited about what they do and they want to share it, and it's entertaining. And you never know. You might run into a situation that you are encouraged by and you're uplifted by, and you want to try something new and different, and that's going to stick in the back of your mind. And you meet them, shake their hand, and introduce yourself. And who knows? That might be your next trip that you are surprised with by your loving spouse. So pick three things off the bat before you even get in your car and drive to a fly fishing expo show, and do those three things and make sure that you are at those places where you need to be well before they start, so that you can have a good seat. Before I continue with my recommendations for the fly fishing show circuit, I did want to recommend something else, and that is that you go to manscaped.com. I've been talking about them for the last 8 weeks now. You go to manscaped.com, and if you put code CASTING, CASTING, in the promo code, you're going to get free shipping, which is huge, and 20% off, which is huge-er, depending on how much you spend, and off your whole order. Now, you can spend tons of money. You can buy boxes full of razors and shavers and lotions and creams and all sorts of stuff, but you can also find one or two things that you can't find anywhere else that can really help you out. Here is what I suggest. It's cold outside, so today I was in my waders, and there is no wader funk when it is 25 degrees out and you're sitting in a duck blind. So getting nasty from the waist down isn't going to happen this time of year when you're out in a pair of waders. But soon enough, it's going to be summer, I promise. And when that happens, especially when the mornings are chilly and you're in like warm pants, you put your waders on, and after walking and walking, it's going to get nasty in your waders. Well, it's a reason, because it's nasty in your waders. It's nothing to do with your waders. It's nothing to do with you. Well, what can you do about that? It's not a lot you can do about getting nasty, but you can cut down on the stank. And one of the things that Manscaped has is called Crop Preserver. And what it is, it's a deodorant and a moisturizer, as well as a anti-chafing cream that you can use wherever your imagination takes you. And this stuff is great. It smells good. It's not greasy. And you know what? It's vegan. So if you were concerned, this is made out of animal products. Let me tell you, you don't have to worry about that anymore. It's cruelty-free. They did not test this on rabbits. They did not make waders that are rabbit-sized, cover them with Crop Preserver, and then throw them in those waders. It's completely cruelty-free. So definitely check this out. Head over to manscaped.com, look for Crop Preserver, use code CASTING, CASTING, at checkout, and you will get 20% off of that and anything else you want to throw in your cart, as well as free shipping. Again, CASTING over at manscaped.com. All right. What else do you do when you go to the fly fishing show? So you check out what they have for offer that's free. Now, there's other things that you can do that will cost money. Now, this is something that a lot of people say, I'm already spending $20 to get into the show, and I'm spending more money. It's the last thing I want to do. All right. That's my impression of somebody who complains about stuff at fly fishing shows, right? But there are classes and with people who are experts that will cost a little bit more money, you know, $25, $50. But imagine how much it would cost to take an expert seminar at any other, you know, setting or situation. It costs at least that much. But oftentimes what you find in these situations is one-on-one interactions where they are walking around, watching you tie, addressing your questions, whereas what you might get for free is more of a presentation. What you get in these settings, whether it be casting, you know, you bring your own gear from home to cast in front of a casting instructor, or they have you sit down in front of a vise and you tie along with them, you're able to interact. And so it's not going to be so much like destination presentations and introduction to things. This is, you know, not even like the 201 level stuff. This is the graduate level stuff. And if you really want to get something that's going to be a shot in the arm to take you to that next level, these kind of classes, these kind of experiences and seminars are definitely worth your time. It is a little bit of money for a big benefit. And chances are you're going to be able to have interaction with somebody who really knows their stuff. And so that may lead to additional conversations down the line. Because again, people are by and large very, very friendly when it comes to this stuff. So first recommendation is figure out what's local to you. Secondly, make a plan to attend particular things throughout the day that are free, two things that you're interested in, and one thing that that you have zero interest in or you're unfamiliar with, but you want to find out something about because it just strikes your tickles your fancy, as they say. Thirdly, if you have the resources, go check out one of the paid seminars or classes. Now, the fourth thing is the thing that most people think of when they think of going to an outdoor expo show. Walk the booths. Now, walk the booths, and here's what you do. Have a conversation with somebody. Talk to people. That is where the magic happens. That is my absolute favorite thing to do at the shows. Now, of course, there's a benefit for me because it just gives me all sorts of ideas for Casting Across and things that I learn about, whether it be a conservation organization or a youth education program or a new product that I'm just really excited to share because the person at the booth was a great salesperson. If you're listening to this and you're going to be at a booth, be pleasant, be engaging, make me want to pick up the thing that you're selling or pick up the pamphlet that you are offering. Don't just sit there and click on your phone. That does happen from time to time. And you know what? I'm going to walk right on by or I'm going to be a nuisance and ask you a lot of questions. But if you are going just as a consumer to check stuff out, ask questions. If you are interested in a fly rod, I guarantee you that somebody from the Temple Fork Outfitter booth, somebody from the Thomas & Thomas booth will be happy to give you more details than you even thought were available regarding their new fly rod. The same is true for one of the smaller fly rod companies. The same is true for one of the bamboo rod sellers. Have a conversation. Find out information. And here's the thing that's really cool. A lot of folks are critical of the shows because they want you to spend more money. But a lot of times, these larger companies, and I just mentioned TFO, and I mentioned Thomas & Thomas, the same is going to be true. If there's a Scott booth there, if Farbank, you know, Sage and Reddington have a booth at one of these shows, they're not going to sell you a rod. That's just not what they do. What they will do is they'll tell you all about their rod. And they'll give you a sales pitch, but there's no transaction at the end of it because they're not going to be selling stuff. By and large, at most of these shows, these big fly rod companies don't do that. What they will do is say, if you're interested in buying one right now, there is a fly shop that has a booth over on the other side of the expo floor. You can go and pick one up or, you know, go to your local fly shop and buy one. And I would say that that is an excellent business model, for lack of a better term, for not just those companies, but also these fly fishing shows, because it really does take the pressure off of you. You can ask any and every question, and you're not going to feel bad when you walk away with a sticker and maybe a free hat, and that's it. So take advantage of that. Have those conversations. Talk to guides. Talk to lodges. Ask them the kind of questions that you're not going to find answers to in the FAQ segments of their websites once you get back. Have those conversations. That's why they're there. Trust me, after having worked in these booths, after having done different things at these fly fishing shows, people with good questions, and certainly there are dumb questions, but people with questions is precisely what you're looking for. You want information. They want to give you information. So definitely initiate those conversations. So if there's something that you've had your eye on and you see that there's somebody there that is selling that thing, then come with your questions. And don't feel bad if you don't buy it, but this is a great opportunity to really move the ball down the field regarding maybe your next purchase, maybe your next trip, or maybe the next, you know, the next thing that you want to get involved with, whether it be conservation or fly tying or something like that. So I talked about finding something local. I talked about doing stuff for free, doing stuff that might cost a little bit of money, doing a little bit of shopping and conversations. And the last one There's a lot more, but the last one for today is kind of, it brings the first one and the last one together, finding what's local and having conversations. This is a great way for you to get involved. This is a great way for you to have an interaction with probably a very personable member of a local conservation organization, a local Trout Unlimited chapter, a local education program, or something like that. And you're able to have that conversation and say, hey, I'm new to the area, or I fly fish, but I'm not really involved with a group. What do you have to offer? And have that conversation. I know that, say, the local fly fishing show here in the western suburbs of Boston, there are booths from various Trout Unlimited chapters, various youth education programs, and every one of them is interested in getting people to be a part of it as far as like the recipient of the benefits, but they're also more than willing to get people who can add to their forces to do that good work. And so have that conversation and figure out what fits my schedule, what fits my interests, and what fits kind of my idea of what giving back looks like. Do I want to teach kids how to tie flies? Maybe I can't stand kids. What I can stand is moving rocks. Okay, let me find an organization that needs me to help with stream restoration. And have that conversation and, you know, commit yourself or just, you know, mull it over. Think, is this something that I want to do come springtime? And if it is, make plans for it. But it's a great way to have those conversations with people that they're incredibly busy. You know, there's not people who are necessarily full-time stream restoration folks or full-time youth fly tying experts. But these are people that, like you, have a 9-to-5 and they're very busy. But this is a chance where you can have some face-to-face contact with them. It's a lot better than doing it over an email exchange or trying to cram it into a conversation in an already busy, you know, chapter meeting or something like that that has an agenda attached to it locally. So those would be my just five of my top things that I would consider doing. There's a lot more that you can do. And if you go back on castingacross.com and just put in expo show, I think is probably the keyword you're looking for, you'll find all sorts of articles. Because I think that these shows and these experiences are really, really good. And there's a lot of benefit that you can get from that $15 or $20. If you're willing to spend a little bit more money, you can probably get a little bit more. But I think if you make a good plan, and you have a good approach and a good attitude, then you're going to get plenty out of your $15 to $20. Don't just walk the aisles grumping that you spent money and now you're being expected to spend more money. There's a lot you can do if you just have a plan and you have an open mind and you are ready to go have a conversation and engage. This week on castingacross.com, the first article that came out was called New Year's Days and New Year's Trout. New Year's Days and New Year's Trout. This is a reworked article from years and years and years ago, and it's one of my favorite topics. It is me talking about what I did through all my teenage years and up into college, actually, of camping in December 31st into January 1st and going and buying fishing licenses first thing in the morning and fishing on New Year's Day and kind of ringing in the new year. So I write a little bit about that and this article. Wednesday's article I think is really good. It's called The Piper at the Gates of Dawn. I was listening to on a drive back from Virginia with my kids, The Wind in the Willows. So, you know, Frog and Toad, not Frog and Toad, Mr. Toad, Mole, Rat, that whole thing. Really interesting chapter in the middle of that book called The Piper at the Gates of Dawn, which is also an early Pink Floyd album. But that's where I got it from, is from Wind in the Willows. But I talk a little bit about nature. I talk a little bit about our engagement with it. And it all stems from this little adventure that Mole and Rat have in this kid's book. So check it out. Those articles and a whole lot more, hundreds, over 1,000 actually, over at castingacross.com. This week's recommendation. It's a great book. I'm here to tell you, I am incredibly impressed with the fly fishing books, two of them that have come out from the people at Imbrifrex Books, Imbrifex. There is two of them. The latest one that I'm going to talk about briefly today is Fly Fishing Houston in Southeastern Texas. But they put out another one that I've probably mentioned before, which was Fly Fishing Dallas-Fort Worth. or no, it's Fly Fishing Austin, I think is the one that I read. I haven't seen their Fly Fishing Dallas Fort Worth. You might say, ah, I'm not from Texas. Okay, well, some people are. So, but listen to me. If you are interested in fly fishing guidebooks, the Imberfrex Books team has done some excellent work, and I'm hoping that they expand to other parts of the country because these are beautiful, and they are because they're big, colorful, picture-filled books. If you are used to fly fishing guidebooks that are just lists of flies to use and gear recommendations and where to park, there may be value in that. But these are the kind of books that make you want to go places. So the first chapter I read, I didn't read Fly Fishing Houston, you know, cover to cover. I flipped through it, but there's a couple of chapters I read. And one chapter I read was the species that you can fish in and around Houston in southeastern Texas. And that was incredibly interesting to just get, you know, a chapter on these subspecies of bass. Chapters on some invasive species that are part of the ecosystem now. Incredibly interesting. And then pictures of people catching big carp in concrete canals. Really, really interesting book. So Houston is a huge hub, of course. So if you're planning on traveling there, if you travel there for business, pick up this book. It's a fun thing that'll make you want to pack a couple of fly rods when you are down in that area. And of course, you know, Houston is right on the coast. So you're fishing for carp and for bowfin and for bass, but then you're also fishing for redfish and all the other stuff that swims in the swamps in the brackish water. So it's an excellent book. I will put a link for the Fly Fishing Houston landing page over at Imberfrex's Books website. But I've actually seen it's coming out in February of this year. So if you know someone who lives in Texas who's into fly fishing or just into fishing, this is a great book. And like I said, this will be a good book to pick up if you are planning on traveling through the area. And like I said, super impressed with the format and the design and just the quality of these local angler series from Imberfrex Books. I do hope that they expand outside of Texas. So you might say the last thing we need is another fly fishing guidebook. But if they're like this, then it'll really up the game across the board. So check that out. And if you have any questions about it, let me know. Thanks for listening to the Casting Across Fly Fishing podcast. Please subscribe in your favorite podcast app and rate the podcast on iTunes. Then head over to castingacross.com for 3 posts a week on the people, places, and things that go into the pursuit of fish.